If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 8. Luke 2 and verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for promising so long ago that you would make right what Adam made wrong. That you would provide a way of escape. Payment for the penalty of sin, so that we might stand not in our own, but in the strength and in the reality of the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Who, because he was willing to be born as a baby, grow up and as a man without sin, pay the penalty for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So that anyone could come to the foot of the cross confess Jesus as Savior and as Lord, and know the forgiveness of sin. Be freed from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. And it all began when he emptied himself so that he might be born as a baby. Help us, please, even in the familiarity of the story, see the wonder of your love and the peace that you offer. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw in the prophet's candle hope, anticipating a promise. God promised Adam, he promised Noah, he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a redeemer. When he reintroduced himself to Israel after their captivity, after their slavery, he promised a redeemer. In the midst of their captivity, he not only promised a redeemer, he set out a timetable so that those who were reading their Bibles and believing in the details would know not only when this one would be born, but in the Bethlehem candle, the faith that provides the details as to where he would be born. Lord willing, next week, as we look at the visit of the wise men, we will wonder if maybe a part of what led them when and to where was because of the writings of Daniel and Ezekiel, men who wrote from Babylon. Then as the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem, there was great joy because the angel had told them the truth, and that joy produced worship all the way back to the hillsides. And now this morning, we focus on that fourth candle, the angel's candle of peace. Because God has provided, as he anticipated, as the world anticipated, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That evening began with an interruption. Verses 8 and 9. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Some shepherds out in the fields. Maybe the ice is thin here, so you don't have to come out with me if you don't want to, but maybe even teens, preteens. They had to be responsible. This was, while it wasn't a job anybody really, really wanted, it was an entry level. It was for the youngest in the family. But they had to be responsible. So, and probably not just the youngest sons, but maybe even the youngest daughters. Boys and girls out on that hillside watching over the sheep through the night, making sure they stayed together, safe from the elements and predators on 2 feet and 4 feet. And in that quiet, suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And they respond as almost everyone does in Scripture. And I suspect as almost everyone here this morning would. Suddenly, confronted by an angel. Suddenly confronted by the heavenly the perfect. They were terribly frightened. Seeing the fear in those shepherds' eyes, the angelic announcement begins again, as they almost always do. Do not be afraid. Now, regularly, most often, when in Scripture, a human is confronted by an angel, they are afraid and they're on the ground, on their faces. Because you know, from our standpoint, from our viewpoint, it might be hard to distinguish between the heavenly angels and the divine. And it's a lot better to be told, don't be afraid, get up, I'm not God, to be so arrogant and foolish as to stand before God. But here, this angel of the Lord, Michael, Gabriel, don't know. Maybe one of the others. But an angel representing God himself says, first of all, don't be afraid. This is not something for you to fear. Instead, I'm just a messenger. And the message is good news. Angels didn't always bring good news. But tonight, as these shepherds are watching over the sheep, he says, I'm bringing good news. Great joy. And then he says, for all the people. The news that the angel brings. Yes, as the rabbis sift through it later, and the theologians of the first century look through it, they're going to come to the conclusion, many of them, that God loved Israel and Israel alone, and that salvation would be offered to Israel and to Israel alone. And the only way to salvation would be, if you were not Jewish, to become Jewish, and then you could approach God for salvation. But in the context of this message, this announcement, isn't it very, very clear? As Jesus will say, for God so loved the world. This message is for all. And aren't you glad? And what is the message? For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. And then he goes on to say, who is Christ the Lord? Now that's very important. I don't know how much of this these shepherds understood. It's pretty clear from the rest of this that they knew more than we sometimes give them credit for. A Savior, a Redeemer, who is Christ? Now, that's a very particular term. So this is more than just a promise of one who will deliver you from Rome. This is the promised one who is, in fact, the Lord, God Himself. So tonight, in Bethlehem, has been born the one that God promised Adam, who would be the Redeemer, who would pay the penalty for all of man's sin. A Savior, a Redeemer, the Christ, God Himself. And it's followed with an angelic anthem. An angel who's made himself known to these shepherds scared them, and then let them know that this is a special night, a special event that they don't need to be afraid of. As great as that is, suddenly this angel has this tremendous choir surrounding him. And it's described as a heavenly host. Every once in a while, God pulls back the curtain and shows us just a little bit of what's going on in heaven. And regularly, when he does that, we get a view of this tremendous angelic choir whose job, if you will, whose privilege, glory, is to just sing, praising God. And suddenly, this angel who's made the announcement is surrounded by this choir, and the message of the anthem is to praise God. One more promise kept. Once again, you tell the world how much you love them. And here is the greatest gift, the greatest proof. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And then our Bibles all kind of translate this phrase a little differently. Peace among men with whom He is pleased. Peace for those who are now rightly related to the God of the universe. And how does that happen? By faith, in the finished work of this baby that has been born, God's grace is laying in that manger in Bethlehem. The response of the shepherds, and I think we're going to see next week the wise men, the response is faith. This child really is who God says he is. So it is still grace, faith in Christ that produces worship. hope, anticipating a promise. Faith in the details. Joy produces worship. And peace, real peace, only comes through a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's what they realized that night when Jesus was born. What about you and me? Yes, we can go back. We can celebrate the Advent candle and these events of the past. But we can do the very same thing looking to the future. We have hope, anticipating a promise. What is that hope? What is that promise? Jesus is coming again. And if, as all generations but one will, you die before he comes again, you will go from here to being with him. Faith is in the details. And where do we get those details? The only source of truth, God's word. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. I didn't make that up. It is true. If your faith is in Christ, you take your last breath here, your next breath there. And if we are that last generation, we will get to see the realization of this hope, a promise. Jesus is coming again. Until then, our faith is in the details. God will do exactly what he has said he will do. That should produce within us joy, a contentment, the truth that God is in control. And that should produce worship. Worship is declaring to him who he is. If he's kept every other promise, he'll keep any promises left. If faith has always been the right response, whether you were Adam or Noah or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses, if faith has always been the right response, it will continue to be the right response in the details. That will bring joy, which produces worship and peace. Peace that allows us to weather the storms of life. Because God has provided a Savior, an answer to all of the challenges, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. This story is so familiar. I pray we have not done any injustice to it or not handled it correctly. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this season when we celebrate the gift of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.